next item is item three is RIPCO LLC well proposal by Mr. Charles Rips. You're on.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for receiving us. And I just want to keep my remarks a little brief because I know it's been a long night for everybody. But I did note, I was very heartened to hear this gentleman and some others mention that they were wanted to be involved in the affairs and on the board of the Cabazon Water District because they liked the community and they had a genuine interest in seeing the development of the community and the prosperity of the community as a place to live and perhaps retire. That comes to the question, one of the questions that I had. You perhaps will have some questions for me, but one of the questions I would have posed to you is, what does the board want? The Cabazon Water District and its board, it seems to be one of the only effective and operating governmental institutions in this community. And having control of a good deal of the most important element of the infrastructure in the community. And I feel that we are in exceptional times now. A lot has happened in the last year. And right now, when I say exceptional times, we're faced two issues that are unusual and don't happen very often. First, of course, is as a result of the pandemic and everything else that's happened around it. We have before the Congress pending now an enormous infrastructure bill that's pending before Congress, which, as you probably know, contains as proposed by the Democrats, a $35 billion item for water infrastructure. Now, $35 billion is just an enormous amount of money, and it bodes well for communities like this if it can be taken advantage of. Of course, everyone knows that this has not yet been approved. It's not been legislated. The amounts could change at some time. But I, of course, have followed this fairly carefully, and the information I have is that the Republicans object to certain portions of the infrastructure, Biden's infrastructure bill, especially those portions which don't necessarily relate to hardcore infrastructure, but they don't object to infrastructure in general, except in possibly as to the amounts in some case. So we have the very rare that something like this comes along. And it's coming along, and it's coming along fairly quickly, with many people expecting resolution of these problems sometime this summer, perhaps as early as the month of July. Have been in the past some proposals by Riverside County to have a Cabazon Improvement District relating to improvements along I-10 from Banning down to Main Street in Cabazon. I think we all know that has been shelved for lack of funding on the part of the county, and we don't know at this point if that's going to be renewed. But it's possible that with federal funds and or state funds in addition being made available, that something along those lines might happen. So these are major developments that affect this area and this community, and they relate to our need for infrastructure. And there is, of course, a question of whether the district wants to take the initiative to push things through and make these things happen, make something happen here. Because there, in the past, it's very, nothing had happened for a number of years here, and it was probably impossible to happen, but now it may be possible if there's a will to make it work. Now, the question comes, of course, what can be done to make something happen here? What can you do? And there are some obvious things that I can suggest. First of all, a plan will have to be adopted informally, probably at first, and then more formally, a plan of improvements that the board would like to see relating to the water infrastructure of this community. That would relate to wells, the number of wells, the amount of water that's available to the community, the pipelines, and pumps, storage facilities, et cetera, et cetera. After a plan has been outlined and adopted in a formal or informal sense, somebody will have to prepare an application and apply to the government, whichever government, state and or federal, who is making funds available, and see whether or not Cabazon will be eligible for those funds. I believe it is. It's a community that's needy. I know that in the past, application has been made to the state of California, and I think funds were allocated, but not necessarily to the district. It was those funds were given to, as I understand it, to wholesale water agencies. This time around, that might not be the case, although there might be funds available from more than one source. If the an application is made, then of course the board would have to examine carefully the properties that we are advising, or we own from RIPCO, and we would have to negotiate prices, and I think at some point that has to be done. I don't think it has to be done now before there's a showing of genuine interest and some forward motion here, and perhaps a formula can be come out with. I had, in my previous presentation to the board, I had suggested that we could agree to some formula via an appraisal, where we get some independent party to appraise what the value of the properties is and use that as the basis of discussions as to value, and that could be plugged into the application to the federal government through whichever agency controls any funding that comes through. Now, there are some elements here that I want to bring forward. I noticed that as portion of the meeting tonight, there are some of the documents that and RIPCO forwarded to the board are contained in the back of that, and I don't know if anybody has had an opportunity to look at that as yet. I hope so, but if not, certainly it's there to be looked at and evaluated. There are certain things that I can I can tell you very, very briefly that are important here. First of all, the quantity of the water is very substantial, and it's been tested by Legend Pump, who I believe you're all familiar with because they've done work for the board in this community previously, and they're reliable. I had a high regard for what they did and for us. And they found the one well that we pumped thoroughly, which we describe as well too, came out with 1,300 gallons a minute in a 24-hour step test continuously. And when tested, the water, the quality of the water is in these documents. It's a Title 22 qualifying test, and it's pure as pure can be. The people at Legend, Keith Collier, would also told me personally, he said that with the specific gravity, and no sense getting into the technical details, specific gravity of the well would make these wells, especially the well that he tested, a very economical well to operate. And that's an important thing, because you don't want to be spending any more money and energy to get the water out than necessary. Also, the drawdown between the first well, which was tested and was not thoroughly pumped, but brushed and baled, and the second well, when fully tested, was nil, just back, practically no drawdown, and they're not that far apart, which speaks volumes as to the availability of water to the property, and which is a brings me to another point. One of the questions somebody might ask is, why take these wells as opposed to going out and hiring somebody to drill your own well somewhere else? Maybe you could save something. Well, there are many good reasons not to do that. First of all, these wells are in a very unique position, and there is a letter from Joe Berman, a geologist, included in that packet, who discusses the sources of water and where they come from. And he discusses the fact that all the water coming off the mountains, the San Bernardinos, flow to the east after it gets to the divide in Banning, or at Banning, and it comes east, and that in addition, the slope of the mountain goes from the north to the south, so the hydrostatic pressure of all the water in the San Gorgonio River is pushed down against the south, the southern rim. And we are, of course, our 11 acres is at the very edge of the southern rim and is heavily influenced by the flow of water at that point. Now, if you go and drill somewhat further to the south, you don't have that factor anymore. You're not getting, so we're getting the flow from the east, and we're getting the flow from the pressure of water in the river that's going, pushing down from the north to the south in, and into the alluvial plain at this point. But if I could call it the icing on the cake, and in addition to this, you can see this on the maps, although not, I have maps that show it more definitively than some of the maps you have. If you look at the water, we are exactly that spot where water coming out of Jensen Canyon crosses into the San Gorgonio River. And that is an additional flow, so a lot of that water in, I have seen it myself in the rainy season. I've stood out there and watched as though that water flowed by like a torrent right over this property and dug deep channels into it. But you have to realize that some of that water flow is underground and will not be seen when you're standing on the surface. The water coming off the San Jacinto Mountains and through Jensen Canyon and Jensen Creek comes directly across this property. And if somebody wants a clearer illustration of that, I can probably provide other maps, floodplain maps, that will show that more clearly than what you have in here. But in any way, that is the case, and another reason why this property is highly productive. So, to distinguish the benefits of this property and these wells from drilling your own well on a different location, you have to consider these things. Drilling a well in any location is highly speculative. You can drill a well, in some cases, 50 feet away, 10 feet away, and find that it is not as productive as some other well, simply because the underground geology is not the same. You have rock in some places, and you have sand or clay, or you have a mixture of a lot of clay and a little bit of sand, which sand transmits water, clay blocks water. Rock can block water or divert water. So we know what we have because these wells have been drilled, and we know exactly what is under the ground in these locations. If you invest $1 million in drilling and putting a new well in someplace else, you may or may not get the result you want. And if you get money from any government agency or your own money, you probably are not going to get it a second time. These are one-time shots. You can't go back to the state of California or to the U.S. government, and probably can't go back to your bank or your mother-in-law and get a second shot at drilling a well. So when you drill it, you want it, it has to be right. And in this case, you have two wells, both of whom, one has an 8.5-inch bore, and the other has a 12 and a half inch bore. And that is our number two well. Now I'm told by a variety of people, Keith Collier of Legend is one of them. He said, if you just expand that to 14 inches, you'll pump 2,000 gallons a minute easily. And he emphasized easily instead of 1,300 gallons a minute. And he wasn't doing me a favor. He was just in idle conversation. I'm not related, and I'm not a personal friend of his, but he just did some work for us. If you wanted something even larger, I think you could get even more at that site. He said the site is very good, and there certainly are on 11 acres under the conditions that I've just described, with no drawdown in the two wells you've got, you almost certainly could drill one additional well if you ever wanted to. There's no need to, I think, from what I know of the district's needs at this point. But if you did want it, you'd have the option of knowing you had a site where you could drill an additional well and have all the water you'd need for some considerable period of time. So that is probably the extent of my comments today. You've got a proven product. The location is excellent. It's close to your, it's close to your existing pipelines, and it's not too far away, and it has access to it, although that probably will have to be improved somewhat. And I would like to entertain any questions that you have.
I don't have any questions, do you?
Didn't we have a well over there?
Yeah.
And we had to shut it down because of all the septic tanks?
Nitrates, yes.
The nitrates in the water, because everybody's got septic tanks. It was over off Adele, right?
Adele and Lemon.
What?
Adele and Lemon.
Yeah, and we had to shut it down just because it was getting so much nitrates in it.
That proves my point. Mm-hmm. It's dangerous to go drill wells in different places hoping you'll get something. It's safer and better to...
That was an existing well. That was an existing Jensen well. Yeah.
That was your Jensen number 3 well.
I believe, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know of that well, and I know it was abandoned.
Yeah.
And it's not too far away from our wells. And that is exactly illustrates the point I was just trying to make.
Yeah.
You could go to a different location and get a very different result because the underground geology changes from place to place. And we have proven, we know what the geology is on these wells. And so you're getting something that's a known item, as opposed to fiddling around with something that has failed in the past and will probably fail again.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that question.
Do you have any questions, Martin?
Lemon and Adele, that area?
Yes.
Approximately, you don't have to give me exacts.
Oh no, there's a picture.
How far out beyond that are you, and you were talking about the Jensen wells, how far beyond that area? I know you're talking about the geology and the geography of the geology.
It's not too far from...
Like a couple hundred yards?
Yes, yeah.
About like that?
It's half a mile.
Page 44 is a map, if you have
it. It's larger than that, I think it is.
Well, from Lemon to Lime is approximately 1,300 feet. And then from there to the farthest of your property is going to be another 2,000. So we're going to say a half a mile.
So, okay. Thank you. That's all I needed to know. Yeah. I'm not a geologist, but I know that that's sufficient. That's a lot of distance.
Okay. I would probably have to check. You're interested in how far it is from Lemon or Lime?
Well,
from the old well.
The old well, essentially.
Oh, okay. I can get that figure from you, for you.
That's okay, sir.
I have...
Because I'm not that sophisticated, at least.
Okay. It's when the well permits were drawn from the county,
right. They
had measurements on those, and I still have copies of those old permits. So they're available.
I'll ask you.
So this area is out where, like, you can't drive past, right? There's ditches, and like it looks like it's. I'm just trying to figure out exactly where it is.
It's not easy to get.
It's not easy. Well, the roads that go straight there, but that's where you start getting the deep, deep crevices. But you're saying it's
well, yeah,
the water.
Well, yeah, it had been. It's the entrance to it is was on Date Avenue, where the old casino. Does anyone know where the old
yep.
casino
yep.
was? Well, this lot is the lot of the old casino, and so it. The road out there, there was a paved road at one time that has fallen into disrepair and been torn up by people going through it, but it's That's part of the, you know, if somebody starts using something, for a while, I was driving it with a four-wheel drive, my four-wheel drive vehicle. Today, it's probably more difficult because it's been torn up by people going back and forth out there. But it wouldn't be all that difficult to make it serviceable again, especially for four-wheel drive vehicles.
Yeah. All my concern is putting any type of infrastructure right there. Like, it just seems like that's right in all the homeless encampments and
the dumping areas,
where we're getting all stuff like this, and we're getting the little, the other things where they're trying to snake water from us.
Well, you would certainly want to, you know, to have it very securely fenced. Mm-hmm. And there's no question about that. Yeah. You know, the advantage is the water is clean. And some of the water that I've been told that's available to the district now has got problems with nitrates.
Well, that was, we're not using that well anymore. Yeah.
All right, but
you know, here's a cemetery seal on it.
Yeah. Well, we
can take it into consideration, and we'd have to talk to legal about it, and.
Oh, absolutely.
And then the one problem I have, one of the problems I have, is the fact that I don't think we need to be latching on to the government teat every time we turn around. We need to become more self-sufficient instead of more dependent on the federal government, because we're all going to have to pay for this infrastructure. Yeah. One way or another. Okay. We're already how many trillions of dollars over we were last year? From all this stuff? Yeah, I understand infrastructure. There's a lot of infrastructure. 33 billion, I think you said? Or 23 billion?
I said 35 billion.
Okay. But that's a lot of money. But when you divide it up by 50, that's 1 billion per state. Mm-hmm. And then when you divide it by population, that's not a lot of money for us to try to delve into. And then we got the expenses of trying to delve into getting the grant. How long is that going to take? How long will we have to get a grant writer or somebody to put the petition in? You said something about getting an appraisal. Well, we understand what you want to do, but I'm sure you have an idea of what you want for the system, what you want for the wells and the property. The property is of no value other than the two wells on it.
It's the water.
Yeah.
It's water there.
Yeah.
It's just, I really don't want to throw out numbers and you know, I know that the district doesn't have the funds to, you know, buy this kind of property at this point. I understand, and it's going to have to get it from someplace. If it wants to, you know, if it wants to get the infrastructure to allow for the further growth and development of the community, that desire, that energy has to come from your side. And I also understand and have sympathy for your expression of not wanting to rely on government, to rely on yourself. A water district is not an entrepreneurial, it's not a business. It's not a profit-making business that can go out and do these things. We all drive on highways that have been built by the government and at government expense, and we drive on them and we pay for them through our tax dollars, and you know, I think on the other hand, we owe it to the citizens of our community and to the general public to have highways and to have water. So you know, I understand what you're saying, and I have some sympathy with it in some respects. I don't know that it applies to this, you know, situation, and it. You know, many communities and are going to take advantage of grants that are given to improve infrastructure of all kinds. And that's a decision for this board to make.
I understand that there's grants out there, but the process to get the grants is costing us money, and you just saw our budget review, right? Because you guys were here before.
I think that the board has already made an application, which is probably almost come to the state of California a few years back to apply for some money that was given to the California. I forget under what, and that was apparently the funds wound up in the hands of the San Gorgonio Water Pass Agency.
And we don't get a drop of water from that.
You don't get a drop of water from it. But the thing is, I think that you've done an application already. I don't know how difficult it may be. It might be very simple. I didn't expect you to pay gazillion dollars for something like that. And but we don't know yet how difficult it will be. And it might be, far more simple and less expensive than you think. It might be able to be done in-house, just filling out some government forms.
No, and I know that our general manager is good at finding those grants as we can apply for them, but they have to be construed, and we have to have engineering before we get to even apply for those. And it's securing, rebuilding the infrastructure that's already here. So any money that we're getting in grants right now is going to rebuild that east side, right? I don't know. Are we not filling our well there from Jensen Creek? Is this just not downstream of that?
No, it's upstream.
We're upstream.
The tanks are upstream.
Yeah, we're upstream from this water that's down here.
So the Jensen tank is filled from up there by a pressure differential system where at night he has a 1 PSI difference set up so that it just slowly pushes the water up there so it's not to overpressurize the rest of the system. Okay. Did I get that right?
Yeah. May I make a comment and update the board?
Yes.
The Sustainable Ground Water Management Act, we have successfully received funding to have a test well on the east side. Once that test well, right now they're looking for a location to place a test well. Once the test well is drilled and we receive the results, then I will confer with the engineers that's when I had advised Mr. Rip here, when we may look into purchasing your properties at that time, but it takes time to get to that point.
If we discussed this, it must have been a long time ago,
Calvin. Yes, before when you sent me all of Dr. Berman's and all the other data that you had, I gave it to the engineers and they have it on file. The other grant that we're successfully being funded right now is to restore all the gate valves in the community. And these are two funding mechanisms that is successful. We have received confirmation that we are receiving this money.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of time, Mr. Rick, of us getting to the point where we start shopping for property or location and they have your information, and I will forward these latest tests to the engineers.
Okay,
and they will keep it on file, and as I said, between government and funding and actually implementing the project, it could be next week or a couple years. Because they, with this GSA, the Groundwater Sustainable Act, they're looking at 10 years, a decade, before they get this completed.
That's SB 30, isn't it?
Well, that's when the actual plan is due, is within 10 years.
Okay.
And are, who is funding that, the state?
Yeah.
If the federal government would fund you earlier than the state, why would you not go directly to the federal government rather than waiting 10 years?
The federal government, like with the funding, they transfer it to the state, and then the state distributes it. In the meantime, the state will hold the funds, and they're collecting interest.
They wouldn't do that, would they?
Like, let's say when we had, we had a couple disaster where I applied for FEMA relief. But the reason why I pushed to have a reserve is when we have a disaster, we need to be able to pay for it now. And not tell our water customers, well, you gotta wait until we get the federal money. Because it's anywhere from a year to a year and a half before we actually get the funding. So that's one of the reasons why I tell the board, advise the board that we need to have a healthy reserve. So we have the money to fix things now, and then I can apply for FEMA money a year later. But again, FEMA will release it to the state, and the state will drag their feet because part of the contributing factor is they want to have all that money in their bank earning interest for the state. So that's where we're at right now. It could be a week or maybe a couple of years before we get to looking at a location to purchase or set up a production well.
You mean the test well?
What's that?
You mean the test well?
No, the test well, that's happening now.
Oh.
They're just looking for, I was just talking about, as far as for Mr. Rip's property, it could be a year or up to 10 years before.
So are we drilling a test well out on the east side?
They're looking for a location at this time. That's where we're at with the test well. And the problem with the state is, let's say we pick a location and the test well proves to be successful. Instead of turning that test well into a production well, we have to seal it and fill it up.
They did that with the test well they drilled right below my place, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's spend thousands and thousands of dollars of federal and state tax money, and then you got to seal it.
Well, sure.
Yeah. So that's where we're at right now as far as funding and as I said, right now the current status is we're working on looking at a location to for a test well.
So but if you found a location that you liked, then you would no longer be interested in our property.
No, the test well is to determine whether the east side of town, because right now the east side of town has no production well. It depends on the two production wells, the three production wells we have on the west side. And the only transmission line that connects the west to the east goes underneath that bridge where the flood channel is, and if that bridge ever collapses or if there's any kind of flooding or disaster and that line snaps, well, whatever tank they have in that 0.5 million gallon tank on the east side, you better make good use of it because it'll be a while before we can get that pipeline fixed. And Elm Street, over towards the Arrowhead plant?
Yes.
Well, that runs through tribal land, and like I think we advise you out there in the hallway, one of the biggest challenges, the tribe wants to keep the property here down so they can buy up everything and connect it to their reservation. So Elm Street and that wash is not an option. Mm-hmm.
So if we do a test, so what's the point? So if we drill a test well, they'll give us more funding to actually put?
Yeah, once we, if the test well is successful, then it'll give us more money for the production well, and that's when we'll start shopping, and then that's when Mr. Rip's property will be considered.
Okay, so we can't say, hey, there's already a production well here instead? Can we just test it?
The state's requiring you to fill it and seal it once the test well is completely done, and yeah.
So what if they were to...
I thought you said that you're filling the test well.
Right. Once the test well, let's say, once we've completed obtaining the groundwater samples and determined the quality, then the state will require us to fill it up.
To seal the test well.
Yeah.
But then you have to drill a production well.
Yeah. That's our government for you. So what if Mr. Rip were to, say, volunteer his property within 50 feet of the existing production well to run a test well?
And then seal it. And then have the government seal it, right?
The test well that's right next to his. And then it's a proven commodity. But see, then again, if it's a proven commodity, he's going to, hey, it's proven. It's worth this much. Well, no.
State funded, right? Yeah, the state said it's good too. No. Yeah.
But the point being is if he were to write a letter to you and to Krieger and to the state or whatever, stating that he would allow a test drill within, say, 50 feet of the production well or the proposed production wells that he has there, now we know we have another verification of said water quality and capacity and hydrological pressure, as he was talking about, hydrostatic pressure. Then we can say, oh, okay, now we have this opportunity right here with already two casings drilled. So at this point in time, it would behoove us to acquire this property for this much money in a grant or whatever, even though I'm kind of not liking the idea. You understand why, because inevitably we all pay for it. But does that make sense, what I'm saying to you?
It does, but you said Cabazon needs it more than Beaumont needs more water.
Well, my thought process is if that's a well-producing well and the water table doesn't draw down, you know, if they put a bigger pump in it or whatever, do we even need the pass water agency line at this point in time? Because we know that it's not going to happen in the next 10 years.
Could we disband from that and save property taxes, right? Yeah.
I don't know that it would be that much of a savings, but...
They're getting $2 million out of us every year out of property taxes.
Well, then we could bring that into the district.
Absolutely, we could bring that into the district.
And reduce water rates?
Hey, we just did. So, sort of, yeah.
So what do you think of that?
That point has a lot of common sense, but you're talking about the rules that, and procedures of and terms of these grant money,
mm-hmm.
and they don't make common sense.
Well, how do we find the location to drill the test well? Like, what is it stipulating that we have to do that?
Well, that's a little above my grade, babe, but that's why we have engineers and part of the engineering service is paid for by the San Antonio Groundwater Sustainable Work Group.
Mm-hmm. Float a letter to Calvin, CCing Best Best and Krieger, and the San Gabriel Pass Water Alliance,
well,
right?
How about Krieger and Stewart, our engineer, and they actually go with me to these meetings?
Yes, okay.
I have documents that will suggest good places to drill a test well.
Well, that's fine, but if I need it on today's date, per se, you know, not something from 4 years ago, 5 years ago, no. but present, you are willing to allow access to the property to put a test well in with you held harmless and no liability, blah, you know, the whole legal criteria. This way, it potentially helps you and us in the same boat. And that's, let the government make the decision per se.
Absolutely no objection whatever to your people drilling a test well on the property.
But I just need a letter stating that if we have a complete, you know, whatever they require, a permission and a liability release and all these loopholes so that we're held harmless and so is the state and everything else. And then there's no eminent domain, there's no this, there's no that.
And we found, and we have a location. Yeah.
Well, Calvin, tell me who you want this letter addressed to, or and.
It would be best in Krieger and whoever our contact is there.
Let me discuss it with engineer and Leo, and
okay.
I'll ascertain the how the letter should be constructed.
Okay. Are you okay with that?
Yes. You can have your legal, review.
Yes.
Okay.
You can have your lawyers write the letter. I'll edit it.
Oh.
Okay. Well.
Is there a general manager's report?
Does that conclude your presentation?
It does.
Okay, so we're going to get on with this. I have to get up at 4 in the morning to go to work, so I need to get out of here within the next 6 hours.
Stretch it out. It's going to be a long night.
I thank everyone for their patience.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, item number 4, public bulletin board by GM Louie. You know the bulletin board by the post office?
Mm-hmm.
Where we post the, it's getting kind of cloudy, and I made the suggestion, the agenda item to, it's kind of a community thing, but we use it to just, to us just fix it and put a new, like some Lexan in it instead of acrylic, so
right. Something that'll hold up a little better.
A little better. Of course, the Lexan, of course, if somebody hits it or falls against it, it doesn't crack because of the UV attacking it. It's going to yellow, but that's my thought process. And so that's why it's on the agenda. And you put a cap of $250 on that, right?
$275.
So any questions?
Are we voting on it?
Yes.
Yeah, let's vote on it. Yeah. I move that we, well, $275 sounds reasonable, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You want to do it?
That's if we get in your motion, Richard. Include for the direct management to determine who has the authority to give permission for us to work on that bulletin board.
Who does it belong to, though? Does it belong
that's
to?
That's it.
But it's our lock on there.
Never mind.
We're just giving a key.
Okay.
Well, we're talking about one of the post office.
Yeah.
It's not the post office property?
Probably is. Probably is, but that board's been up there for 50 years.
I know last month Director Morris said she thinks it might be the library. I'm not sure though.
I think the library has access to it.
I think the library does. I don't even think we have authorization over it.
Well, we have a key to use it. Okay, I'll make a motion that the general manager ascertains who has controlling interest in that and to see if we can upgrade it, repair it with up to $275.
I'll second that.
Do you want me to repeat the whole thing?
No.
Okay. So motion to approve made by Director Link, second by Director Wargo. Director Sanderson?
And this is to find out who's responsible.
And then get permission to do the repairs.
I second the motion.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay. You want me to go on with the vote?
Yes, please.
Okay, so Director Sanderson.
Aye.
Director Morris, I don't think she's on anymore.
No, she's on her way to the hospital.
Director Wargo.
Aye.
Director Luke.
Aye.
And Director Tincture.
Aye.
May I make a suggestion, though? I understand why that panel is in two parts. It's because of the handrail. I was looking intently at it, what it was going to take to just to do it. I would suggest not even worrying about the section, that little narrow section. Just push it closed and either tack weld it or drill a hole and put a bolt in it and just have the hinge part just there, because it's almost a mute point, and then it's a stabler door. And then we're only putting one piece of Lexan in there. And then once you put it in there with a backing strip and a 48 screws or 500 screws, it'll last but long after you and I are gone and stuff. But if you need some metal work done on it, I know somebody who does it, and I can talk them into doing it for free. Okay?
All right.
And have you looked at the manager's report?
Oh, yeah, I read it.
Have you looked at the manager's report? Are you happy with what you've seen? Do you have any questions about the manager's report?
I've got no questions.
Okay.
Okay.
No questions?
No questions.
Do you want to give him 5 minutes to look over the manager's report?
Yeah. Poor guy.
Basically, the well rehab is predominantly most of the information, right?
Well, it just kind of changes. I went up there this morning, and my question to engineering and legal is, legend is used, I don't know if you can see the deep cuts in the pump shaft. It's page 3. Some of the. This is the.
It's going to be an attachment. It's not in the actual packet.
Okay. Some of those abrasion and cuts are as deep as an eighth of an inch. Page 3 is the photo.
Yeah, I see that. What are those attributed to?
I'm sorry?
What do they attribute those to? That looks almost like a grinder, cutoff oil.
When I first got there, I on page 4, I see the legend piece, employees, they have a 1-inch wide sand belt, and they're trying to sand it down. And
trying to get rid of the evidence?
Yeah, page 4 is a photo. They're trying to sand it down, and then when I asked for an update, they inquired if the food grade chef lubricant was working, because they felt that because there was no lubricant, and that's what caused the cuts and abrasion. And I told them, I advised them, and as on page 5, I was there the previous Friday night at about 3 or 4 in the morning to ensure that the well was operating and flushing. And the reason for the flushing is to clear up all this solids and bacteria in the well shaft, because the following Monday, Tuesday, they were going to get some groundwater sampling, take it to the lab, which it didn't pass. It came back. One of the samples came back positive for coliform. So, But I even have videos of the dispenser, 1 drip every 2 seconds. So then I said the following week was Saturday night at 8 p.m. I was going to remotely start the well, and it failed. And again, I went out there, responded to Cabazon, and it was the high pressure warning light that was triggered again, which prevented it from starting up. So I reset it. I reset the control panel, and I even reset the main breaker. And then I heard this whining from the soft start, and that's when I shut down the well entirely, and didn't bother to flush, and then Monday morning, I called for the electrician and the SCADA guy, the SCADA engineer, but Legend had already pulled the pump motor because they wanted to fix the, prepare the water that was leaking out of the water head, the well head, and that's on page one. And they were going to repack the glands at the retainer bolt at the well head and fix the abrasion and cuts. So I told the legend workers that, so based on your statement, I don't think it was the food grade was actually dispensing. So I think it may have been some other contributing factor that caused those deep cuts. Then this afternoon, Dave Wooney, who's one of our certified water technicians, he took today off because he had a family emergency, but he called just to see what was going on at Well 1. And I shared the same story with him, and he said he had a Legend employee made a spontaneous statement that the ball bearings failed, and that's what caused the cuts and abrasion in the well shaft. So I take all this information and photos, and I asked Travis, who's the engineer that's from K&S, overseeing this project, and he returned with an email saying that Keith says it would cost $6,000 to rent a crane and replace that one section of shaft. So he says right now the reason why they're using the sandpaper is because they want to smooth out and polish those cuts and abrasions.
What's the horsepower of that motor that drives it?
300.
Even if we have to pay for it, replace that section of shaft, because that cut right there is a stress riser.
Yeah,
that is not from a bearing. That is from when they cut the bearing off with a cutoff wheel. Is that what it looks like?
Yeah, it's harder.
That's what it looks like.
And if that shaft, if that shaft fractures, now we're without it, and how much is it going to cost us to fix it?
Well, I replied to Travis, and I'm involving the attorney. I said, let's look at the contract and see who's really responsible for any kind of damage, not just breach of contract, but I'm talking about damage to our equipment and faulty work, and who's really financially responsible. So that's what I'm waiting for,
okay,
to get a meeting in with Chuck and Travis, and maybe I'll even involve Dave and Steve Anderson.
Hey, you can tell by the different directions and the cuts.
Mm-hmm. Those are cutoff wheel cuts when they're trying to cut the inner race off the bearing. If the bearing failed, that was not due diligence on their part. I do that stuff at work all day long, but I just replaced a shaft on an 800 horsepower boat because.
Now in Travis' email, he said, "Well, if we go ahead and let him just sand it down and smooth it out and polish it, maybe we can get them to extend their warranty."
No. That's too much of a. There's too many stress risers from what this thing is. Poor. I imagine your color picture looks a lot better than that.
Yeah, she's got the color pictures.
Oh my word.
Go ahead and share with the other directors.
And that's the pump hole right there where the bearing goes, right?
Yeah.
Probably.
Why? See him? What's that?
I said they're going to get more money out of that.
Well, but do you see?
I do. No, it's okay. A better picture.
I was gonna put this on a PowerPoint, and then when this all came up, I spent all day trying to correct it.
Absolutely, yeah.
So this one here is a cut from a grinder. This one is a cut from a grinder.
The bearing going out here.
Yeah, these are the bearing.
These are not.
Yeah.
They're trying to sand it.
Well, there's one thing to sand it so the bearing goes on, but when I look at 300 horsepower and I saw 12 bowls on that.
Yeah.
So and we're trying to pull water from 700 feet.
Ooh.
So we're talking 350 psi of pressure at the bottom.
That's not including all the shavings and
contaminants. Yeah.
Going down to the well shaft.
Well, they did put a rag around there.
What's that?
They did put a high pressure rag in there to capture the shavings.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Well, we use them high pressure rags on the hydraulic lines. And
that'd be great in a bottle, you know? Yeah, a baby bottle. In there.
So are we going to replace it or what?
What's that?
Are you going to replace that thing or are you going to go back to the, you know, tell them to follow the whatever, the rule?
Well, I'm waiting for an answer. Our internet's not working, so I'm just depending on my tablet. Where's my tablet?
Can we go?
We're almost there, Martin. Okay, so anything else on the management report?
Oh my God.
Relax, we got one more old business item after that.
Oh my word.
Somebody get on break.
No,
we're going to be done in 3.5 minutes.
I think I got some board comments.
Oh my gosh, he's going to start.
Leaving. You're going to bore us with your comments?
Tesla power pack. I just signed a rebate from Edison, so we're having some progress and movement on that project. And Kaufman Specialty, if you look on page 10 of 12, we've addressed the graffiti. Apparently, the workers have been using our hydrants to do their math or make derogatory comments about each other, and they cleaned that up. And let's see here, I think we already talked about Main Street District yard. Chuck's going to talk with Edison to get the pedestal powered, and Chick-fil-A. They submitted their change orders, and that's being currently reviewed by an engineer.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
That's it.
Okay, next item of business is old business item one, customer concern, Paul Oshidiri.
He said he was going to be here.
Okay, well, discussion action. I guess we can't. We've already given him a chance, didn't he? And he filed a lawsuit against us, and then it got tabled, and then he filed and then it got motioned, and it got
dismissed. Without prejudice.
He doesn't deserve any more comment.
Right. So
his latest complaint is the board was deceitful when they told him that we're a corporation, and the judge told him that we're actually a government agency.
Okay.
Right.
So there's no action. Yeah. Okay. Need a motion? Board comments?
Welcome to the board.
Yeah.
Right. Any agenda items? Okay. Need a motion?
Make a motion. We adjourn.
I second the motion.
What time is it? 8:43. 9:41.
Yeah, I know.
9:41? Okay. Well, no, I'm looking at there. I can't read the clock.
9:41
is it really?
Yeah.
9:45. Yes. I've been dying for
21 years. Sit here and talk about it forever. I'll leave.
Okay. Motion to adjourn at 9:41 p.m. Made by Director Wargo, second by Director Sanderson. Right. Director Sanderson.
Aye.
Director Morris is now absent. Director Wargo.
Aye.
Director Link.
Aye.
And Director Teacher.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned at 9:41. PM on Tuesday, May 18th, 2021.
Oh, my word. Oh.
So these meetings used to go until how long did they used to go?
Yeah, they'll tell you.
They used to go.
Oh, yeah, the old ones?
This used to be the Springer show. It used to get really bad. Oh, can we turn off the recording?
See you later, bud.
All right.
Yeah.